where Joe Friday was the ultimate enforcer, upholder of the absolute value of the law, Frank Kennelly was a questioner, seeking to understand criminal behavior, to sympathize with criminals, if not condoning their actions. For Dragnet is ultimately about judgment, finality, each episode ending with the criminal's conviction and punishment. The 21st Precinct, on the other hand, is far more open-ended, both in narrative structure and ideology. The very title, Dragnet, connotes a trap, something enclosed, and its hero, Joe Friday, is a dictator of moral certitude. However, the 21st Precinct's Frank Kennelly does not so much dictate a judgment as share an experience with the listener. And this experience can often be baffling, not boiling down to a simple case of right and wrong or good and evil, but lies somewhere in a geography of moral ambiguity. The standard opening of each episode of the 21st Precinct illustrates this fundamental difference in ideology from Dragnet.
21st Precinct. It's just lines on a map of the city of New York. Most of the 173,000 people wedged into the 0.9 square mile between Fifth Avenue and the East River wouldn't know if you asked them that they lived or worked in the 21st. Whether they know it or not, the security of their homes, their persons, and their property is the job of the men of the 21st Precinct.
The 21st, 160 patrolmen, 11 sergeants, and 4 lieutenants, of whom I'm the boss.
My name is Kennelly, Frank Kennelly. I'm captain in command of the 21st.
The announcer's introduction states that most people don't even know that they live in the 21st Precinct. The lines on a map may seem arbitrary, even absurd. The voice of Captain Frank Kennelly provides a sense of humanity, unlike the bloodless moral certitude of a Sergeant Joe Friday. Kennelly's job is to uphold the law. However, the law may, like the 21st Precinct itself, be ultimately arbitrary. However, he continues in his role, absurdly perhaps, in order to understand it and to provide it with that sense of meaning that, in and of itself, it seems to lack. Also, each episode of the 21st Precinct begins with its own conclusion. In a sense, each episode is a flashback that leads us back inexorably to that initial conclusion.
First Precinct, Sergeant Klein. What's the matter with him? How do you know he's dead? From what? Where is this? You're in the muster room at the 21st Precinct. The nerve center.
A call is coming through. You will follow the action taken pursuant to that call from this minute until the final report is written in the 124 room at the 21st Precinct.
All right. You just wait there for the officers. No, right there. I'm sending him now. You just wait there and show them where he is. All right, thank you.
The observant listener will realize that someone, a man, will die in the course of the episode. The ending is a foregone conclusion. It cannot be stopped or altered through the agency of Frank Kennelly and his men. The sequence also underscores the program's existentialist ideology, as the desk sergeant asks a number of questions, and we, the listener, must overhear and try to make sense of a one-sided conversation. The overwhelming question in this episode of the 21st Precinct is thus not what law was broken, what judgment was passed, but why does this man have to die? Does it make any sense? This episode, entitled The Shooting Gallery, was originally broadcast September 29, 1953, during the program's first season. It centers on a young heroin addict who deliberately pulls a fire alarm in order to get arrested and sent to jail, where he hopes to beat his addiction by going cold turkey. Having just eaten dinner, Captain Frank Kennelly is the first officer on the scene.
Don't you know it's a criminal offense to turn in a false alarm?
I know it's a criminal offense.
Captain, you want me to run around the station house? You want to get some help?
He doesn't need any help.
No, John, they'll be here. Don't worry about it. Why'd you pull the hook? Come on, look at me. Talk to me. Why'd you pull the hook?
Because I want to go to jail, that's why.
I want to go to jail. You will, mister. You can count on it.
Captain Kennelly soon realizes the reason behind the young man's apparently absurd action and transforms from antagonist to sympathizer. He even goes to the young man's bail hearing in an attempt to get the young man committed to a treatment program rather than jail. However, the young man refuses Captain Kennelly's aid and goes to jail. Captain Kennelly confronts the young man after his hearing.
He was convinced that the answer was to sweat it out in jail. Cold turkey, as he called it. Symptoms typical of the withdrawal from narcotics had overtaken him. His eyes were watery, his head hurt. He was alternately hot and cold. He was genuinely ill, but he was determined.
The focus of Kennelly's comments here relate less to judgment or evaluation than to empathy and experience. He wants the listener to know what it feels like to be a heroin addict going through withdrawal.